What's up, everybody? You're listening to episode 31 of Just Breathing with Lauded Lungs, joined by my wife, Brittany. And why are you laughing at that?
I'm sorry. I'm just thinking of like one of these days someone's going to breathe in, not through their mouth, like through their nose, and it's going to be really weird. And we're all going to laugh at it.
Oh, that's true. That's true. Yeah, I'm definitely going to laugh at it.
Sorry.
I will definitely point it out on the podcast, too. It'll be like a first-time guest that I've really wanted to have on the podcast. And I'll be like...
Because you never tell, like, if people haven't watched this before and they're, like, breathing, they might be like... Sorry, that's what was going through my brain as you were talking, and I just couldn't help but laugh.
No. I usually... people that come on the podcast, I do explain to them what we're going to do.
So they don't look like a fool. Yeah. As they like sniff the mic.
Because if I don't explain it to them, then I'll do it.
Yeah.
And then I look like a crazy person doing it by myself.
True.
They'll
That's
be sitting
true.
There like, the and then they just see me like, and they'll be like, what
is wrong with you? Is this like a ritual?
Yeah. I always begin the podcast.
This
like
is a
this.
Cult podcast. Okay, sorry, that's off track.
No, it's fine. Speaking of cults, we wanted to talk about North Korea a little bit, just because we both listened to this podcast, and we mentioned it on the last "Just Breathing with Lauded Lungs" that we wanted to talk about it this time. This is the podcast with Jordan Peterson, and I think I'm going to butcher the name, but it's like. Yoami Park, I think, is how you say it. And if I butchered it, I'm deeply sorry. But she is a North Korean defector that wrote a book. And it's amazing. I mean, her whole life story, from life in North Korea to being enslaved in China to... getting out and going to South Korea, which I want to get into this because I found it really interesting, the racism that sort of exists between North and South Korea.
I did not know that.
Yeah. I mean, I understand it. I mean, they fought a war.
Yeah.
And there's still a demilitarized zone between North and South Korea. You know, so this is the same people group, but they have vast differences and have just heightened those differences over the years. And it's just led to this really racist culture between them.
It's so sad
that makes it difficult for kind of development of any North Korean that defects, that gets out. And it's sad, I don't know. I just found it very interesting to see that existing there. But yeah, I wanted to get into that. I wanted to get into her whole story, just some things that we both sort of took away from that. We haven't talked about this. I wanted to save this conversation for the podcast, so I'm excited. But if you have not listened or watched this, there's going to be spoilers. So
yeah, that's true.
Just wanted to say, spoiler alert, go read her book or go listen to the podcast. The best, she's been on... couple different interviews. The best long form interview that I've heard is the one with Jordan Peterson. Just because, I mean, it's an emotional roller coaster to say the least. And you know, Jordan Peterson has a son and a daughter, but I could almost feel. I mean, he breaks up so many times in that interview, and I could feel him putting his daughter in her place.
Yeah.
And like, that's how I watched the interview.
Right.
You know, I was putting my daughter in her place and being like, oh my gosh. Like if I had to have my daughter go through that, it's just, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's unbelievable what she went through, what she achieved in the end. Like to go from that to where she ended up is just incredible. But
it's incredible.
But anyways, so go do that first. Then come back and then watch this podcast. But man, so she was born in North Korea. She was raised in a family that it's very interesting to hear of sort of the cultural and familial dynamics in North Korea from her perspective, because it's completely different than a Western perspective of family. It's different than a Western perspective of culture.
It's like, it's just totally different.
It's another, and I think we said this in the last podcast, but it's another world. Like it's not the world that you know.
It's like reading, I know she mentions 1984 in that interview, but like it's like reading a depressing like book like that.
If you're 1984 like, was a real place.
Right. Mm-hmm. Like you're like this is like almost like fiction because it's so awful.
Yeah.
You literally feel like you're going into like when you read 1984 or something like that. This like depressing, like awful.
Well, just because so a lot of the things that sort of influences the makeup of the family, the makeup of the marriages, the makeup of the culture is the lack of words to describe certain things that are very instrumental in our family makeup and our mm-hmm. cultural makeup that we know from a Western society.
Yeah.
So like they don't know what love is, like romantic love.
Yeah.
So like marriages aren't built on romance. They're not built on love. And parenting isn't built on a love for your child.
Wow. Yeah.
It's built on, they never say I. So like there's no individuality
right.
in North Korea. It's all about we, mm-hmm. the collective, the commune, it's communist. So
there is a word she said, I can't remember what it was, but it's not the same as love, but it's like, it's a way to say that you are caring for
like affectionate
this person.
Right.
But like, yeah, it's not as deep and detailed mm-hmm. as like our language, but like, right. that's how you would say that you are with someone.
Right. Right. And that's it. It's a very productivity-based way of looking at the relationship.
Yeah.
They don't really see it even as a relationship. It's a commitment. It's a financial commitment.
Yeah.
You know? And
so what's one... Okay, so what is the main... I know there's so much good stuff to like to learn from in this, yeah. but what's like one of the main things that like stuck out to you? Or that like impacted you?
Oh man. I mean, this is jumping to the end of the story. We don't have to get into the actual story. If you want to hear her story, go listen mm-hmm. to this interview. We'll just kind of pull out some of the things as we go. But honestly, it was her experiences in America.
Mm. Yeah.
So just to do a quick synopsis, like I was doing before, she went from North Korea. She was sold into human trafficking in China. She got out of that miraculously by walking across the desert, which she wasn't supposed to survive from, but she made it into Mongolia and then was able to come to South Korea. In South Korea, she got her GED, went to university. She got her GED. Like, she did all of her childhood and high school education in 1 year. Like, she literally was hospitalized from studying so hard.
I just can't even.
Like, she just studied and read all the time.
Yeah.
Crazy. But that made me think back to my schooling and how much I complained about, like, having to do homework. And I was like...
For 1 year,
yeah,
of one grade,
yeah. But so she did that. She went to a South Korean university, was able to make it over into America. Went to
also, by the way, I just have to add in, she didn't like fully know English yet, and she couldn't even read in her own language. Just with that said, because I was like, what?
Yeah,
but pretty amazing.
Yeah, and then so she makes it over into America. Where she resides now, and she decided to go to Columbia University, which is a pretty renowned, mm-hmm. prestigious university here in America. And the thing that, and that's where it kind of wraps up in the book, around 2015 is where her book wraps up. But what I found so impactful was her describing her experience at Columbia University.
Yeah, that was...
And I don't want to put words in her mouth, and I'm not quoting her verbatim, but basically she was talking about the fact that all of her classes were so politically driven and were so social justice driven that it lacked the actual educational requirements to make it worth her while. Mm-hmm. Like she said it was like when she was asked about her time at Columbia University, she said it was a complete waste of time and money.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yikes.
Now, this is a person that came out of North Korea. Her dad was in a concentration camp in North Korea. She was in sex trafficking and human trafficking, slavery in China. She went through hardship and dealt with racism in South Korea, finally made it to the freest country on the face of the earth, America, went to an American university, and then said that was a complete waste of time and money.
That's insane.
Like, I mean, I'm still processing it.
Yeah.
It completely rocked me. It completely rocked me.
It's
I don't even know what to make of it. It's so disheartening.
Yeah.
And not anything against her all. It's disheartening because I want her to feel what I believe in for my country.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, I believe America is still the greatest place on earth. That's right. Why thousands of people, millions of people are trying to get in.
Mm-hmm.
There's no one trying to get out of America. Right. Everyone's trying to get in. That's how you can basically measure the competence and the success of a country.
Right.
How many people are trying to get in? How many people are trying to get out?
Yeah.
But like, I don't know what to make of that.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact, like, I know that there's problems in our universities. Mm-hmm. We've discussed issues that we've had with things going on campuses, things going on in the university system, in the educational system. I didn't realize it was that bad.
Yeah. I mean, it did surprise me that she said it to that extent. But at the same time, sadly, I wasn't totally surprised that she said that, which is really actually sad in
itself.
I was
surprised, though, because, like, I went to college around the same time that she was in college. Mm-hmm. Maybe she was a little after me.
Yeah, because she's younger. She's definitely younger than us.
Yeah, like, it's around the same time, actually.
I don't know. Maybe, like, 5 years later?
No, because I graduated high school in 2009.
When did she go? Do we know?
I don't know. But I mean, her book ends in 2015.
Okay.
So she's in college right around that same time.
Because she went to college young. Yeah, that's right. She went to college
young. She did. She went to She went to college at 17.
Yeah. Yeah.
Which is...
yeah.
So crazy.
Pretty crazy.
So crazy.
I think that the thing that surprised me the most with that, and I didn't think about it until just talking right now, is that... because she said that she felt censored when she was there.
Mm-hmm.
But now thinking back that she said that and what you said, I think there's not a freedom of thinking
mm-hmm.
in what college used to be. Like, it used to be like here's the places where
thoughts were born.
Right. Here's mm-hmm. the what everyone has said and thought, and let's inform you and teach you how to figure out what you think
right.
so that you can become well thought. I don't know what's the right word for that. But yeah, I feel like we've kind of actually cut off things like, no, that kind of thought isn't good. Don't go in that direction. Don't go right. in that direction. Don't go in this is the only direction we really want you to go in.
Right.
And that's not free thinking.
Right.
It's fine to teach people and say a lot of people believe these things or whatever,
yeah.
but we need to be teaching the truth and let people decide how do they want to think. But
and what's sad is, and that happened probably with just the admission of certain professors into certain fields of study and the lack of leadership when those professors decided to teach in certain ways and kids were like, what?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this professor, like when they do the evaluations at the end of the year, they do that at all universities. Like, I'm sure that kids were saying, like, hey, this guy just talked down to us and told us what to think. Like, I didn't learn anything.
Yeah.
He just gave us information that we had to adhere to and believe
in.
You know, and I see this more and more now on now that a lot of Zoom calls and different things like that, when universities were doing that, it's really exposed a lot of professors that are talking down to their students that are ridiculing them or that are correcting them.
Yeah.
Which you're not there to be my parent.
Right.
You're there to be my professor.
Yeah.
I'm the one getting the education.
Yeah.
I'm the one thinking.
Yeah.
You're to present me with the information. Do your best at helping me
understand it.
Mm-hmm. The information, and then I'll think.
Yes.
But you're right. There's no thinking or teaching you how to think at universities anymore. I definitely, looking back, I guess I didn't really get a lot of that. I had some really good professors, though, and that's what really saddened me about her take on her college experience. And she was sort of in a lot of the fields that I dabbled in, you know, more of the liberal arts degrees. So I was in that same world, but I guess I got lucky. The head of my department was a pretty solid person, and she was very helpful at helping students.
Yeah.
You know, she went out of her way to make sure that they understood the material and why it was, why they were presenting this information. And some of it's a part of the times, but, you know, at least where we went to college at Penn State, it wasn't political.
I don't remember. I only did 2 years associate's degree, and mine was very like honed in on what I was going for.
Sure.
But yeah, I don't remember. Like, my professors were good. They were excellent, and they just taught what we needed to know.
Right. Right. Which is their job.
Yeah, that's their job. So they did their job.
The fact that we pay an exorbitant amount of money for professors to indoctrinate our children nowadays is kind of a scam.
Yeah.
Like, we should start calling it for what it is. It's a scam.
Yeah.
You know, our kids are coming out of colleges nowadays and learning how to hate their country, believe it's the most racist place on earth, when we have actual examples like this Yomi Park, who is saying, no, it's not.
Yeah, yeah.
No, it's not. No. There's people in my country that are still in concentration camps, and concentration camps are the nice prisons. There are some prisons that are just, you don't come back from.
The prison camps, right?
Yeah, there's prison camps, and then there's concentration camps, which are like re-education camps to be like, hey, you made a mistake. We're going to teach you to not do that again.
Oh, no, I thought it was the other way around. Did I have it wrong?
I don't know.
Anyway, you're right.
I thought the concentration were re-education camps to get you back into the frame of mind.
I thought the prison camps were. I could be wrong, though.
I think they're just work camps.
Okay.
Because there's some that they just work them to death.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. They're both awful.
Yeah, pretty terrible.
But in her pretty mind, terrible. From what her awful upbringing, one, you could look at them and say one is better than the other. Oh, goodness. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the thing that stuck out at me, well, like a lot stuck out at me, but I came away from that interview like, I was just like, oh my goodness. Like, you really remember what really matters. But yeah, there's so much I could say. But I guess that one of the things that stuck out me the most is first of how awful, like you don't hear people talk about North Korea that much. Or maybe I'm just ignorant and I don't.
No, they don't.
I don't know. But like, it's
so. Why?
Why?
China.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She mentioned that in her interview because China's like the big brother.
I did hear her say that, but like, how do they, is it because they like fund? I heard her say that, but is it because they fund them somehow? Like, how?
No, you don't understand. China owns so much of America that we don't say anything about North Korea. It's not a focus. It's not saying that militarily we don't have our eye on North Korea, but we don't ever advocate for the people of North Korea, even though genocide is taking place of the people. People are starving. In North Korea.
But why would China care if we tried to help them?
Because they're communist. They're both communist parties, and China likes this little stepchild that is a little volatile.
Right, because I guess they're benefiting off of the trafficking that's happening too. That's right.
Well, yeah, that doesn't hurt. That doesn't hurt because of their one child policy. Mm-hmm. They only can, so they're women is a shortage in China. Yeah. So they need the human trafficking to keep existing.
So they just ignore it. Oh goodness. But anyway, that was upsetting to me because I was like, this is so wrong. I mean, we know that there's a lot of wrong things that happen like in lots of different countries, but I was just like, this shouldn't be happening in this day and age. Like, this is awful, awful. And, I was just, So I guess when you listen to her story, you'll realize like how awful it is and the things that she had to grow up in. But then I guess
and how quickly she had to grow up.
How quickly she had to grow up.
Yeah.
And so that just upsets me to think that it's just not okay. That's all I can say. It's not okay. But also, I guess the other thing that was like, wow, is how resilient she was. Like. And not just resilient, like, she cares. Like, she's so, like, filled with grace and not, like, bitter or angry. And, like, I mean, I'm sure she struggles. I mean, I don't know if she struggles with those things, but I would think it's only natural. But I'm like, how is she, like, even talking about some of these things with, like, grace? Mm-hmm. Like, some of these people who did awful things to her, like, she can see their side, even though what they did was wrong, like, mm-hmm. totally wrong. And you're just like, wow, I should never, ever complain. But not only that, like, I think that we can really, we're more resilient than we think. Mm-hmm. And we should, and when I say that, because we shouldn't let people that we know and love and care about wallow.
Yeah.
We shouldn't let them wallow in their own self-pity. Mm-hmm. And like, that sounds mean because you know that they might have been through bad stuff, but like, that's not helpful. Like, she has every right. She has every right in the eyes of man to wallow, you know? But she's not. And she's like this powerful, resilient person. Yeah. And I was just like, and she's seeking the truth. And I was like, I don't know. It was just encouraging to see that. And then also to be like, I should never let myself wallow. I should not let other people wallow. Like, that's not healthy. It's not beneficial. You can walk forward.
Yeah.
And I guess that was the biggest thing that I took away from it. Yeah.
One of the things too that she mentioned at one point was the fact that, because she was asked about that, like, how, when you've experienced so much, can you still exist with the level of grace that you give to your situation in North Korea? Like, some people put so much weight on the situation or the deck they were given,
mm-hmm.
and just kind of like throw their fist up at the world and say, like, this is wrong.
Yeah.
And it was.
Yeah.
It was.
It was wrong.
And she didn't do it to her situation. She didn't do it to the people that abused her. She didn't do it to the people that were racist against her. She didn't even do it to the college that took away her voice again,
mm-hmm.
here in America. You know, and one of the things that she said was, she's had conversations with people that have had more difficult lives than her.
Oh, wow. Like, yeah.
Just think about that for one second. Like, she had the hardest life I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Ever. I can't even fully put myself into her shoes. Like, even to try and, like, empathize with her.
Yeah.
I can't do it. And she is still able to say, well, I've talked to some other people and they've had way harder lives than I had.
Yeah, she's like, thankful.
Yeah, and she's like, I'm so grateful. Like, she's looking at her life now and, like, where she got to. And she's like, you know, I'm so grateful that I'm here now.
And she's even said, I'm so grateful that, like, I had it so good compared.
Yeah, compared to others. Like, that
Yeah.
We have such a victim problem going on right now. And we have it in the way that we view race, where we like to put people into boxes mm-hmm. and say, "Yo, you're black, you're a victim."
Mm-hmm.
I know a lot of blacks that are doing great.
Yeah.
And to just throw and make them this you know, collective group, this monolith is disgusting.
Yeah.
And it needs to stop.
Yeah.
And, you know,
and it's actually, yeah.
And to victimize, you know.
It's not helpful for those people to do that to them.
No.
And it's dishonoring.
No.
Honestly.
And even the stuff that has gone on with the Me Too movement.
Mm-hmm.
There are some good elements. Mm-hmm. Like with everything. Like in the whole, you know, let's eliminate racism once and for all.
Good.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know, let's go down this mm-hmm. path of conversation. But demonizing another group of people
right.
is racist.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's stop that. Let's end racism once and for all.
Right, right.
How about that, gang?
Yeah.
But, you know, even the Me Too movement, it's like, yes, sexual harassment, you know, sexual misconduct, sexual, you know, rape, all of these things are terrible.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to be more open about the fact that these things exist so we can teach our children.
Right.
What to look out for. We can teach our sons how to behave properly yep. and the consequences of engaging in things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, hey, it's not okay to slap a woman on the butt.
Yeah.
Hey, it's not okay to, you know, oogle and ah
yes.
and feel up a woman.
Yep.
Wrong.
Yeah.
There are consequences for yep. that. And we're not told that. Instead, we have a culture that at the same time of Me Too is advocating for more you know, more of the porn industry to
yes.
rise up and to and we want this sexual freedom
yeah.
to take place. This liberation movement, it's not conducive.
No, it's
you
not.
You can't have one with the other.
Oh, it makes me so angry.
Yeah. yeah. It's and we could get into a lot of different stuff. Now there is bigger players at work. Like, you could go back to China. You could go back to, you know, I just heard, and I think I shared it on my story today, like, there was this woman who was from, she grew up in Mao's cultural revolution in China, which led to the communist state that's there now.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Mao's China was a lot different than the communist state. Now, it's still a dictatorship right now, but it's a more open market. There is some degree of freedom with the people.
Mm-hmm.
Everything's monitored, but some degree of movement and freedom within the people. In Mao's China, people forget this because they don't like to talk about the woes of China, but China's responsible for over 100 million people dead in its cultural revolution. And this woman was speaking at a school board talking about critical race theory. And now critical theory has been around for hundreds of years.
Mm.
And it stems right from Marxism and critical theory. And now they put critical race theory because it sounds a little better. Maybe, you know, we'll mask it with the racial
race,
tensions
yeah.
that are going on right now. And that way we can slip it into our educational system. Now, she's saying critical theory is what was used, not race-based, but but class-based in China to divide people between different classes.
Mm.
So she was like, we changed names of schools and buildings for political reasons.
Oh, boy.
We, you know, divided people and pitted them against each other.
Hmm.
Sounds
she familiar.
Was like, she just went down the list of all the things that are happening right now as a result of critical race theory and its teachings. And basically, it's like, this is a communist, Marxist-based idea.
Yeah.
That led to the Maoist cultural revolution in China and the communist state that exists now. This should have no part in our education system here in America.
Yeah. yeah.
And this is a woman that lived through it.
Wow.
And I'm like,
let's take
amen.
Let's take ear.
Amen. Let's go. Let's start talking about this stuff for the foolishness that it is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And let's make sure that it does not happen.
Yeah.
My kids will not learn
oh,
critical race theory.
No.
They will learn it as a means of educating themselves to be able to speak against it.
Yeah.
Because that's the thing. I'm not this weird, like, conservative Christian person that is going to
blindside them,
close my kids' ears to the dangers of this world and things that are hard and difficult. And no, I'm going to talk to them about pornography. Mm-hmm. I'm going to talk to them about critical race theory. I'm going to talk to them about, you're going to talk to them about human trafficking.
Yes.
You know, we're going to talk to them about racism. We're going to talk to them about all of these issues that are hard.
Yes.
And we're going to educate them so that they can come to the conclusions that, yes, we want them to come to as citizens of the United States and as human, good, decent human beings.
Right.
So we are going to definitely influence them.
Right.
But we want them to come to those conclusions, which is the whole point of education.
Yeah. It's so true.
Yeah. So a lot of the stuff and the, I say all of that to say that the reasoning behind the fact that North Korea is not a subject is because of the sort of higher games that are being played now with the infiltration of critical theory into our education system. Which, why would, if this is the focus, if this is where you want the country to go, the activists that are out there that are shouting racism at every turn, that are saying black people are getting, you know, shot in the streets, which they are by other black people, but they're not being shot by cops in the streets. It's just a lie.
Yeah.
You know, so you have all of these things going on. Why would they talk about North Korea, which employed these same tactics to get to the communist state that they're in right now?
Yeah. It's very, it's
disgusting.
It's
it's disgusting.
And I still am kind of at a loss of like, how did we get here? Like, why are we believing this? But something, this is on topic, even though it might sound like it's not. So I was listening to something today, by, I can't remember his name, but the guy who writes The Body Keeps the Score. Anyway,
what is that about?
It's basically, it's a book about how the body responds to trauma. So he's done lots of studies. It's really good.
I remember you talking about that book. I didn't remember what it was about.
Yeah, it's really good. So this guy he's just learned, and now he's just teaching what he's learned from his practice and from his studies and research. But anyway, he was saying how, you know, there was this new way of treating trauma. And so, but he didn't even believe that it was worthwhile. But then he started to see that like it might be beneficial. So he was like, he looked into it more and he's like, I think this is beneficial. So he started to teach that and introduce that as possibly something that you could use. And I can't remember where he was teaching, but anyway, his students were like, we don't believe you. Where's the research? And so he's like, good point. So he goes and he does his own research, and he has research now to prove it. Like, he doesn't actually care. He's not trying to prove, he's not making money on that. He's just trying to learn what will help most. So he found that it is helpful, this type of treatment. And then he comes back to those students and he says, okay, well, here's the data. This is helpful. And then they said, we don't believe you. Mm-hmm. And he's like, okay, so like, here's the facts. It's helpful against this other well-known practice that isn't as helpful. This is more helpful. And what he was saying is that people will believe, they hold stronger to their opinions than they do to facts. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, yikes. I was like, I have seen that to be true. Like, we hear facts. And I think the reason why they don't get like shown to the world and like up on the big screen, like this is really important facts, it will change the way you think. It will change the culture. It doesn't get put up there because people are just like, no, we don't really want to believe it. Mm-hmm. We are going to hold to our opinion. And I'm like, oh my goodness, this is crazy.
Yeah.
Like, how is that? How are we doing that?
Yeah.
I just thought that was, I mean, that's kind of a sad thing to mention, but. I don't know. That's what he was saying.
No, it's not a sad thing to mention. It's honestly the reality. And it's the reality on all political sides.
Mm-hmm. But like, what will it take? Because I can see that in my own life.
It's going to take out. The hardest part is, outside of experience, what is it going to take? Because I promise you, if every single person that, let's say, just wasn't understanding the woes of communism, that we're just illiterate when it came to the history of communism, we're illiterate to the racist backgrounds of Karl Marx and some of the writers that were surrounding his ideas. Mm-hmm. Because most believe communism, but don't ever go to the text, mm-hmm. and they don't go to the history, you know, and they just say, well, it just hasn't been done right before. And that's the cop out for communism. The only other way to influence or impact these people would be for them to go to these countries and experience it.
Yeah.
So outside of that, I don't know. Honestly.
Yeah.
I was working up to hopefully come up with something to I don't know. Experience is the best teacher.
Yeah.
And outside of experience, I don't know how to teach someone that this is a real thing, that this is a problem, right. that this is going on. Like, I mean,
I guess they would have to realize it's important enough to like look into themselves and then see enough of the facts to change their mind.
Yeah.
Because like, I think of my own life and I mean, I'm the same way, I guess. Right. Like I believe certain things and it's hard to make me not
disassociate from those beliefs.
Right.
Cause you have to disassociate from a belief first before you can even entertain a different
right.
one.
So you have to get to the point where you're like, well, maybe this is worthwhile for me to look into. And then usually it's after I look into it and I see it for myself through researching it myself that I'm like, okay, that's actually true. And what I was thinking was wrong.
Yeah.
Okay. So, well, now this is what's true. So that's what's true. So that's what I'm gonna believe. But I guess you have to hear it enough that possibly the way you're thinking is wrong for you to doubt enough to say, well, maybe I need to figure this out for myself.
Yeah. I think the best way is always through grace given to the person that's listening, love attached to the message that's going out, and then sometimes humor.
Yeah.
There's too many people yelling at each other that mm-hmm. I've stopped listening to a lot yeah. of it because of that.
Yeah.
Like I agree with certain people
right.
that are yelling and sometimes it feels good to yell
yeah.
because stuff's frustrating right
yeah.
now.
Yeah.
You know, I get worked up on this stuff. Mm-hmm. I do. But when I'm in conversation with someone that I'm actually trying to give them
Some information to think about.
I got to come with grace of knowing where that person's at right now and meet them where they're at right now.
Right.
And I got to lovingly say, I want you to have this information because I love you.
Right.
And I don't want you to keep going down this path that I know will just lead to a destructive mind.
Yeah.
You know, victimization gets you nowhere. Right. It keeps you and the people that you're claiming are victims.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Always.
Yep.
And
re-victimization, at least in your own head.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. All the people that are claiming that black people are victims are literally just making them victims once again.
Mm.
There's a reason why there's only 13% of black people in the United States. It's because of abortion. It's because we have made this victim culture and we keep placing it on black people. If you just told them that they could be whatever the freak they wanted to be, and that they had every opportunity to do so, and I will help you do it.
Right.
They could do anything.
Right. And they do. There are some people that do.
Right. That get people around them that tell them that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not that you're so
right.
victimized.
Right.
Cops are coming after you. You know, this world hates you. Everybody's racist. White supremacy, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
Is killing.
Yeah.
Is killing.
Mm-hmm.
The black population. So if we want to talk about racism,
yeah.
victimization is racist.
Right. And it happens to a lot of different people groups.
Oh, yeah. Cool. So I'm worked up again. But yeah, that's what I want to say on the podcast. But when I'm talking to people individually, grace, love, and people respond to humor. If you're not like worked up,
right.
If you're coming to them and just having a good right. time. Like, this is not a formal debate.
Right.
This is not, you know, Fox News, or this is not CNN right
yes.
now.
Yes.
Like, this is a friendship built on love, and let's joke about our sides.
Right. Right.
We know we have sides. Let's call out the stupidity on both.
Right.
Let's just get some humor going right, in here. Right. That's the only people that I listen to that are able to call out both sides and that are able to joke about stuff.
Yes, yes.
It's interesting, and I'll kind of shout this out, because I shouldn't even start with this, because this is almost like a partisan statement, but like, I don't agree with both of these people on a lot of issues, but there's this new podcast that came out called Breaking Points, mm-hmm. and it's a news-related podcast that has like one woman that is more left-leaning mm-hmm. on a lot of her views, and then there's a guy that is more right-leaning on a lot of his views, and they do this show together. It used to be called The Rising, and okay. it was on The Hill, which is a news organization. They quit that job and then went independent because, honestly, they don't really like corporations. They right. speak against corporations all the time, and they're like, we're working for
right,
one.
Right.
So, I mean, mad respect to them.
Yeah.
They ventured out on their own, and they're like, we're going to rely on subscribers.
Right.
We're going to rely on, you know, views on YouTube, and we're going to rely on just holding to our own beliefs
right.
that, like, we want to be free to say what we want to say, right. to say it how we want to say it, to explore, to go a little longer, mm-hmm. you know, because everything in news is very cut up
yeah.
and, yeah, very restricted. So they went out and they did that. It is number one right now in the political space
oh, wow.
on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts. They're doing pretty good on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
That's not really where they're focused. They're more in the podcast space.
Yeah.
But it's so cool because people are hungry for that middle ground.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They're hungry for that politically homeless space.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's kind of where these people feel mm-hmm. because they don't love the Democratic Party. And the guy that's the conservative really dislikes the Republican Party.
Mm.
Which is interesting.
Yeah.
You know, these are kind of two disenfranchised so right. politically people
yeah.
that are just bringing the news in a, they're very intelligent,
mm-hmm.
you know, both of them. I'll disagree with stuff, but I'll be like, wow, the way you said it made me think.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we need more of that.
Right.
People that, and they're proving that you can do it.
Yeah. I like that because.
Like the fact, sorry, one
no,
more
no,
point.
Go ahead.
The fact that they left an organization and together started
yes.
a new show. Like, they're literally almost doing the same show just by themselves now.
Yeah.
You know, like, the only thing that changed was, like, the backdrop, the name, and, like, they switched places
yeah.
where they sit.
Yeah.
And people got all worked up because they switched places. And they're like, we just,
like, different.
Yeah, we just sat down here and we liked it. So this is how it is now.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's so great. Funny. But, yeah, they're doing great.
That's
they're
awesome.
Doing so good, and I think it's just a testament
right.
to how we should have conversations about all of these things.
Yeah. But. No, I think that's good. I was just going to say, I love it how I think it's good to see examples of people who aren't, like, clinging to their political party like a I don't know, for dear life. Like, you don't have to do that.
No.
You can have your own thoughts. You can say, like, I mostly vote on this side simply because I agree mostly with their stuff.
Right.
But, like, I have my own thoughts. I don't have to believe and agree with everything that
but
they put out there.
But when one side is claiming violence for you having those beliefs,
mm-hmm.
that's where you run into issues.
Yeah.
You don't understand who you're hurting by being against abortion. Well, I know I'm not hurting babies.
Oh!
Boom!
Goodness. Yeah.
On fire. You know, but that's, again, the victimization thing. You don't know who you're hurting by, I don't know, by being pro 2A, by being, you know, pro people being allowed to own guns.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, Okay.
I think it's interesting you say
you're hurting me.
Right.
Like for example, I'm sorry, you go ahead first.
No, go ahead.
I just think it's so sad. I heard something today that someone was having a family reunion and they received an email kind of on the chain mm-hmm. of people that were RSVPing for this family reunion. And these very progressive, I think some of them were gay, sent an email mm-hmm. basically stating like, you know, here are our grievances with members of this family that have certain views. And this is kind of a lot of the family is comes from a Mennonite tradition.
Okay.
So they have very conservative views on certain issues, maybe homosexuality.
Yeah.
So these people have felt threatened. They've felt, you know, whatever. They don't feel safe, they say, coming to this family reunion, and they want to make sure that everyone kind of accepts who they are and understands their implicit bias, because some of these people are also half black. So this family already is intermarried racially. Mm-hmm. You would think that would be a good thing,
right,
considering everyone up to this point has accepted that fact.
Yeah.
Still, the people that are still all white need to understand their implicit bias and racism and donate to a fund that is going to go to them.
Oh.
Yeah, it's a wild, wild story. But like, these are the things happening within families right now.
That's intense.
And I just like, we just need to start, like, I mean, I said when I first heard that, I was like, oh, I guess you should just like, can you do, like, I don't know if like shunning is a part of Mennonite tradition, but like, you should bring it back if it's not. If that's gone out of fashion, you should bring back some shunning.
But no, for real, I think it goes back to what you were saying, like with the whole,
There's a difference, though.
No, listen.
Sorry.
No, listen. Right. I might disagree with you.
Okay. We'll see.
We'll see. It goes back to the whole grace, love, and truth, okay? Because you can, in truth, you can love them mm-hmm. and tell them what's true, and they might not feel safe.
Yeah.
But it is in love, and it is if it's and with in grace. But like, so this, okay, so after watching that interview, going back all the way to the interview, this is the kind of stuff.
Sorry, guys.
This is the kind of stuff that I'm kind of done with. Like, I'm not going to tiptoe.
Right, right.
Okay? Like, I'm not going to tiptoe. Like, okay, if I was in that family and I was in relationship with those people, now if I was like a distant family member, I probably would read that email and be like, that's sad. And that would be it. Honestly, that would be it. I'd be like, whatever. I'm not going to do anything with that. Like, I'm not going to donate. I'm not going to comment. Right. I don't know them. They're just a little confused.
Yeah. Like, well, if you're already making problems in an email,
I would just
I don't need you coming to my family reunion.
But let's say
for my safety.
Right. Let's say I knew them and I was in a relationship with them. Like, I see them every week. Mm-hmm. Okay. And like, I saw that. I think that I would just be like, the next time I saw them, I'd probably be like, hey, like, I saw your email. Like, I love you. I'm going to be at that family reunion. You know how I feel. I don't agree with you. I'm not, maybe I wouldn't tell them I'm not going to donate, but I would be like, I've always been here for you. Mm-hmm. I don't have to agree with what you agree with in order to love you. And then I would just leave it there. If they don't like me, then that would, because of my personality, that would still be hard for me, but I'd be like, that's fine.
Yeah.
Like, I like out you watch that interview with this Miss Park lady and you're like, this is a bunch of crap. Like, I'm just going to love people and I'm going to tell them the truth in grace, right, with grace. But like, if you're going to dangle like meat in front of me, like you need to save me or no.
Well, there is something to the fact that, you know, the truth will always set you free. It might not set other people free. And that's a fact, but it will set you free.
Right.
And just expressing the truth that you know will alleviate you of any stress regarding situations like this. Your part is done.
Right.
It's on that other person now to either accept it or not. And that's not really your concern.
And I think the other, sorry to interrupt you, but I think the other thing that is important that about the grace and the love, it's not only to do that to make them feel like to not hurt them, because you don't want to hurt them necessarily. The truth might, but you also do the grace and love, you say it in that way, because they might actually not have thought of it.
Mm.
Or the people that are listening to you speak to them might not have thought that, like, what their thought process is wrong. Maybe they genuinely feel like a victim and they genuinely feel unsafe, even though maybe they've been told that and now they feel it. Maybe they didn't feel it before. But anyway, you say it like that because it gives them room to be like, oh, wait, like, you're right. This person always has been there for me.
Right.
Like, they have shown that they love me. They don't agree with me. But like that, it gives them, I feel like that grace and that love gives them room to be like, well, maybe that person's right. Maybe I shouldn't be so concerned that they don't agree with me.
Mm-hmm.
It just gives like that space for them to like change their mind or not. Yeah. To just for that relationship to be mended, even if you don't all agree.
Yeah.
But it gives room to also change your mind, I think, in my opinion.
I think it's always worth it to tell the truth. To the best of your ability in the most loving way possible, like you said, with as much grace as you can. I think in this situation, some type of leadership has to be there that says, for the safety of all, you're not invited.
Mm-hmm.
Just because there's a difference between a good faith, I don't feel safe, I feel like you guys are going to condemn me, you're going to look down on me, you're going to, you know, not make me feel welcome because of my sexual lifestyle, which is such a weird thing.
But
because,
isn't that on them?
What?
That, like, they would feel that way.
Course.
And like maybe
of course.
So, maybe.
No, of course. but this is why I'm getting to this. Because I have people that are gay in my family, and like the saddest part to me is that a lot of them don't want just you to just love them. They want you to accept their lifestyle as well.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no other case in humanity that demands that of you. Like, there's no other cases in humanity that says, like, I need to, like, with our kids and parenting, I can love my kid and not accept the fact that he's a liar sometimes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like, right. I'm not going to accept that
part of
you.
You're not
going to
love that part of him.
Right, because that part is going to get you into trouble and hurt you.
Right.
And whatever your belief is on homosexuality, in my opinion, it's harmful to you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to believe me.
Right, right.
But that's my opinion, and I get to have it,
mm-hmm.
and I can still love you.
Right.
Just like I can still love every person that has a tremendous amount of other things in their lives
that you disagree
that
with.
I disagree with.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It's possible.
Yeah.
Two things can be true at once.
Yep.
I can love you and I cannot accept certain parts of your life.
Right.
I do it with most people. I do it with most people. And it's a sad truth. And when people come to you and they're asking you to accept certain parts of their life, it has nothing to do with love anymore.
Yeah.
You can send them, and I think this has happened in this situation that I was talking about, where people have responded in the most loving way possible.
Yeah.
That you will be loved here.
Mm-hmm.
This is a family reunion.
Right.
We're not here to talk about your sexual preferences and your sexual lifestyle.
Right.
Honestly, who the freak cares?
Yeah, yeah.
Seriously, who cares? I don't go around being like, I sleep with women. It's only in these gay yeah. and LGBTQ plus communities mm. that we have to care who sleeps with who.
Yeah, yeah.
And why.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Yeah.
This is America, man. Mm-hmm. Do what you want.
Right, right.
Just don't put your stuff on me.
Yeah.
Because I don't care.
Right.
But you're trying to force me to care and to accept what you're doing as right.
Right.
I don't have to.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have to because I'm an American right. man.
Because you're
I do what I want.
Yeah, you're not asking them to accept how you live and to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. It's, and I love everybody.
Yeah.
I really do.
Right.
Like, it's kind of part of my personality. Like, I definitely have a defensive mindset about myself where, like, I hate when people are hurting,
mm-hmm.
you know, but at the same time, like, I don't know. I, like, yeah. I just love everybody. I do. And I just, I don't know. I don't like when anything's stuffed down someone's throat. I guess it just comes down to that.
Right, right.
I just don't like when anything is stuffed down someone's throat and you're just made to think and believe a certain way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because we can't do that to each other because we all have our different beliefs and we all want others, because we believe it, to believe those things. But it has to be an invitation. Like, you go, like, I always have to go back to the Bible, since I believe the Bible is true. And I'm like, how does Jesus do it? How does God do it? And because, as I believe, there is a right and a wrong. So, like, there's not like two rights that go in opposite directions.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, there's only one right path.
Right.
And so, but Jesus and God do not force us on there.
Mm-hmm.
They invite us.
Right.
And so that's really how my attitude needs to be. I need to tell people the truth yeah. and I need to invite them in, and I cannot force them.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, this is what I believe is true. It's good for you. It's good for everyone around you.
But you don't have to go with me.
There it is.
You don't.
Right, well, that's what, like, I'm saying. You just invite. And if you can do.
That was the problems with, like, the Spanish Inquisitions and, like, the Crusades and the, you know, a lot of the things that had gone on in the Catholic Church
right.
early on was, like, no, this religion is not about force.
Yeah, yeah.
This religion is about an invitation.
Yeah.
And you're invited in if you want.
Right. We hope you do, because we know it will be good for you, but
you can't stop me from telling you about it.
Yeah.
I can't stop my own life from telling you about it. I hope that it just shines, like, wow, look at him. He's married. He has kids. You know,
right.
he has a solid lifestyle
right.
that I want. Yeah, well, it's because of my faith.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, like, you can't stop me.
Right.
You can't stop me from saying that.
Yeah.
And I'm not forcing you into anything.
Right, right.
And you're right. That needs to be our response. That needs to be the thing that we just put out there and be like, it's an invitation.
Yeah. Right.
I'm not going to force you to change.
Yeah.
My Bible's not going to force you to change. Who cares mm-hmm. if it says that you're doing something that's contrary to the words inside of it?
Right.
That's on you.
Right.
It's not going to bite you.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, it's not going to get you.
Yeah.
You know, but it says it. Okay.
Yeah.
Believe it or don't believe
right.
it.
Right.
It's on you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anyways.
I think the hardest thing, at least that I found with that whole thing, I find it is easy, though, to shove things down people's throats because I feel like that's how, like, our culture works. Like, we just shove things.
Mm, yeah.
Like, that's how we roll here. We're just like, you're bad. Believe this. If you don't, you're awful. That's just how we roll. And that's how everything is. But it is so, like, yeah. I always have to take a step back because I know I probably do that sometimes, as much as I hate to think that I would ever do that. But yeah, I have to take a step back and invite instead.
Yeah.
Speak the truth and invite.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree. Oh, man.
And that's the other reason why we give grace. Sorry, just one more thing. That's the other thing why we give grace, because we know that we have done stupid things too. So we're not above you as we speak truth, because we are idiots as well. And we need correction all the time too. So
yeah. Yeah, that's another thing. And maybe we can kind of start to wrap it up on this. But yeah, one of the things that was really interesting that kind of stuck out to me in the interview that we started talking about was the fact that Miss Park, I'll just call her that because I can't say her first name. Yeah. Right. It's probably super easy. I'm just an idiot. But like, she was so adamant about truth.
She was so adamant.
Like, if something just seemed ridiculous, and most of the ridiculousness she experienced when she came to America.
Yeah.
That's a sad truth. Mm-hmm. You know, she was just kind of like, why are we doing this?
Right.
Where is this leading? Mm-hmm. Why is this being pushed? Like, you know, she was hyper aware to the language that was being changed. She mm-hmm. was hyper aware to the cultural things that were happening. She was hyper aware to the things that were being done in the education system. Because mm-hmm. these are all the ways in which the cultural revolution happened in North Korea. How they were able to take over the people, and little by little, the history of North Korea changed to be a mythology. Mm. Like, everything in North Korea has Kim Jong-un. Or, I'm sorry. No, Kim Jong-il is the father, I believe. But to include him and Kim Jong-un in all of the history. So, like, Jesus Christ was replaced by Kim Jong-un
yeah.
in the Bible. So they have a Bible in North Korea, but it's Kim Jong-un as Jesus Christ. You know, so like he was everything.
Yeah, he's like the history like begins and ends with him. It's yeah. just him.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah.
And you might be sitting there listening to this and be like, well, we're not that bad. Like, we're not doing any crazy stuff like that. And it's like, it was slowly. It was a slow drip.
Oh, that's the scary thing.
And you don't realize that's being fed into your veins mm-hmm. until you wake up and your children don't know the word freedom anymore.
Yeah.
You wake up and your children don't know what love is.
Or freedom is redefined.
Yeah. Well, they didn't even have the word freedom.
Yeah.
They weren't allowed to know freedom because that might inspire revolution.
Right.
They didn't know what revolution was. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, they knew that there was this communist revolution, but it didn't even say revolution. It was just like the communist battle, like the war, like the, you know,
yeah.
and they were victorious.
Whew. Yeah.
Even though they don't have electricity at night, you know, but they don't know that. They don't even know what the internet is.
Yeah.
Crazy. Crazy. Oh, man. Let's wrap it up here or I'm going to have a heart attack. Oh, man. Well, thanks for sticking with us, guys. I hope you got something out of this. That interview really rocked our worlds. Go watch it. It's on YouTube right now, or you can listen to it at Jordan B. Peterson's podcast. It's maybe like, at the point that this is coming out, it's maybe like 3 or 4 episodes down if you listen to it on the podcast. Incredible. Incredible interview. It'll change your life. It'll change your perspective. And that's a lot of what we want to do on this podcast, is just have these types of conversations that just open your mind up, change your perspective, give you a new look on maybe something that is existing in our world right now. And I kind of want to do more of this. And if you guys are watching this on YouTube, let me know in the comments what you think of this. But like, I kind of want to do some more current events, mm-hmm. you know, maybe on this podcast, maybe with me and you and stuff, mm-hmm. just do some more current events just so we can give a different perspective, hopefully a grace-filled perspective, yeah. hopefully a love going out perspective.
Lord help us.
A truth-filled perspective.
Yeah.
So let us know if you guys want to do that. I'm already engaged with a lot of this stuff, so I don't mind talking about it. I've kind of felt like I should have some sort of voice going out on some of these issues, just because everything's so hyper political, hyper partisan, hyper aggressive, mm-hmm. and it's not getting us anywhere. It's actually dividing us and sending us backwards in terms of the progress that's been made over the years in this country. So let me know what you think. But thank you guys for listening. Thank you guys for just engaging with us. And before you go, if you're watching this on YouTube, make sure that you like this video before you go. Subscribe to the podcast and hit the notification bell. Those listening, make sure that you subscribe, follow, do all the stuff on those platforms so that you know when we come out with the next episode. We love you all. Pursue truth. Pursue understanding. And above all, value wisdom. All right, guys. Love you all. Bye.